says it wasn't supposed to be a rebound. Episode number 65. I'll get you there. Expect more and pay less at Target. Come on, who doesn't shop at Target during the holiday season? Today's episode of the Keep It 100 Girl Show is brought to you by Target. With a fridge full of leftovers from the feast last week, there is just so much to be thankful for, including time with family, yummy food, and post-Thanksgiving deals at Target that still continue. It's a perfect opportunity for you to stock up on holiday essentials. Look, starting November 27th and running through December 3rd, you still got a few days. You can save up to 40% on bedding, rugs, decor, dining, and entertaining. Target is also allowing shoppers to save $10 whenever you spend $50. Or you could save $25 when you spend $100 on holiday decor. And that's to help everyone get prepared for all the upcoming celebrations from now through New Year's Eve. Speaking of the holidays, parents, you're going to want to mark your calendars for saving up to 25% off select items from Kleenex, Mega Bloks, Magformers, and Lego items. And while you're at it, parents and grandparents alike, enjoy saving $20 when you spend $125 shopping for baby, car seats, strollers, gear, nursery, feeding, and monitors. You can link to all these deals from my website, ninababel.com/podcast, and you're going to look for episode number 65. Or I'll make it a little easier. Just go right in the show notes, right there in your phone, and click on the Target shopping link where you could do all the mobile shopping you want. Welcome to the Keep It 100 Girl podcast. If you're tuning in for the first time, sup everybody. Thanks for listening and joining me today. I'm your host, Nina Babel, author, girlpreneur, speaker, and soon-to-be course creator. You can connect with me online with Instagram, Facebook, on the Keep It 100 Girl page, Twitter, using the handle at Nina Babel. So live from the DMV, which is code for the Washington, D.C. metro area, people, where did it all go, right? 2016 is almost over. It was just a month left. And now it's officially holiday season. The trees are up. Christmas parties are on the calendar. Weight gain is a total must. Year-end deadlines have all you procrastinators, including myself, buzzing. And you know what? There's just some of us who want 2016 to be over with. I feel totally refreshed right now. I just got back from vacay and pressed the reset button, and I didn't have to wait till the end of the year to do it. And I'm really looking forward to ending this year with a bang, and I'm looking forward to new beginnings in 2017. But as always, thanks for joining me for another 50 Shades of Cray Cray. For some of you, you might feel a little embarrassed or exposed, but you know what? There's nothing to be ashamed of. You're going to learn what women and men are thinking, but not saying out loud, but they do on this show. On this podcast, we celebrate our shame by letting go of all our embarrassing moments. Don't be weirded out either. There's really no sick factor to it. It just takes education. And you know what? The more we converse about it at all stages and ages, this stigma that all of us tend to hold on to will eventually fade away. You know what? And we're going to have fun.
Wow.
Is we overshare. Starting in December, I'm going to be giving you 12 days of Christmas. What this means is for 12 straight back-to-back days, I'm going to be dropping some unused footage from this year's guests that I've never featured. Haha! Girly Nation, are you ready to keep it 100? My hand is raised. How about yours?
Yes, I'm ready to keep it 100.
I'm ready to keep it 100, girl.
You know I'm going to keep it 100.
In last week's episode, I harped on the fact that it's officially plus one season, right? The holidays is the time of year where people get embarrassed about being single or newly single. But we also set the record straight that we're not inviting randoms to be by our side either, just for show. And also, we can't forget about those holiday bugaboos who are looking for an invite, right? For free holiday drinks and food. Then, later in the week, we talked about those six-month relationship pulse checks. You're going to learn what the six-month mark means to different people. Like, are you one of those people who are in love by 6 months? Maybe you're just getting warmed up. Or maybe it's just time to press the reset button to really know if he or she is the one. Anyway, check out episodes 63 and 64 respectively. In today's episode, I like to call it, something along the line of famous last words. You know, the whole dealio around that. You didn't mean for it to happen, but it did. Kurt is divorced and now in his 40s. He has no kids and he's currently single. First time he's been alone in his whole life, frankly. Kurt says, the backslide is dangerous. He had a different view. You're getting back with someone you broke up with. And it started with backsliding. With his own ex-wife.
Yes, I've had... are we going to call it backsliding? I guess depending on how you want to describe it.
What's backsliding?
You never heard of that term?
No.
Backsliding?
I mean, it's what I'm going to guess.
It probably is exactly what you're thinking. So yeah, you're getting back with somebody that you broke up with, right?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really hard to be friends with your ex and do that kind of thing, like, you know, friends with benefits, when you are an all or nothing kind of person, right? Like that whole Elaine and Seinfeld thing. And frankly, Kurt will tell you that in his situation or situation, it just didn't stick.
Yeah. Now, I've, you know, been guilty of that with my ex-wife, though, you know, it was kind of hard to describe. We were trying to be friends and then we became friends with benefits. And then she wanted something more, and then I wasn't prepared for more at the time. So, you know, moved to the sort of detente, and then we just sort of cycled through that, I'd say maybe three more times.
Whoa.
Before, right?
Yeah.
So,
but what was the understanding when you were cycling through it? Like, you already made it clear.
Well, because the thing of it was that I really like her. I love my wife in terms of my ex-wife. Sorry, in terms of, I think she's a great person. I don't wish her any ill or anything like that. It was just that my thinking was I don't think she was the right person for me. But the thing that I was missing, I mean, it was a 20-year relationship. So the thing that hadn't been replaced really wasn't around at the time, was that deep friendship. You know, we'd been through a lot of stuff together over 20 years, shared a lot of jokes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so I was still trying to, you know, do that Seinfeld and Elaine type of thing where you're just sort of friends with your ex kind of thing. So that's kind of what I was trying to sort of maintain. So every time I thought it was clear, and so that if we were, you know, going to start fraternizing again, she would understand that it's as friends. But, you know, it wasn't it wasn't something that was sort of sticking for her. And I guess on my part too, you know, there were a couple of points where I was kind of thinking about, should I, type of thing. But yeah, I wasn't at all ready. So it's painful now. See, the thing that is that she's the type of person who's very, all or nothing. So, she wasn't prepared to have just a friends only kind of relationship, or at least, you know, not now. Maybe at some point in the future. That's me being hopeful, but for her, it's either, you know, we're gonna, you know, look at moving towards getting back together, or we're not gonna interact. So I think on my part, I think I was trying to be somewhat hopeful that we could continue as friends still. But yeah, it still kind of went into something else.
Well, she knew Kurt very well, but she certainly figured out that Kurt wasn't going to take it there. At least to where they once were. After 20 years, she's not the person who Kurt wants to spend the rest of his life with.
And again, it happened with my ex-wife, so.
How did that, what put a stop to, you said you cycled through it, but I guess what led to the final cycle?
She just sort of really realized, I think, that I'm not going to take it there, you know, and
that's because you've made up in your mind that she's not, I guess you guys were meant to be.
Not in that way anymore, you know. Okay. And again, that's her. She made that decision. I would still love to be friends and hang out with her. I would love that. But at the same time, I'm just sort of more seeing her as friends. And, it doesn't have to be with benefits or anything like that, you know, and it doesn't have to be, you know, constant contact or anything like that. But, you know, every now and then kind of thing. But yeah, for her, it's more, hey, if we're not going to kind of move back to what we once were. And in fact, you know, the other kind of tricky thing is that I know that things would be a lot better now. I mean, she has greater tools. I have better tools. So I think it actually would be, on a practical level, a lot better.
Now Kurt's marriage was officially over.
You know, I was coming out of the relationship with my wife, and just before that kind of officially broke up, I'd met somebody who.
After a few months, things change. But in this clip, Kurt makes a distinction between outings versus dates. Ladies, a guy who's on the rebound might weather up and die after he realizes that it wasn't just an outing, that you're officially dating. But I'll let Kurt explain.
We didn't really talk that much back in school days, but I knew who she was. She knew who I was, type of thing. But,
okay.
You know, we'd bump into each other a few years, type of thing, at a party or whatever. Anyhow, so we started kind of hanging out a little bit. But anyway, point was that once I kind of left my wife and started spending time with this woman, it was more supposed to be about... we called it outings, you know, just sort of little adventures. And I was doing things that, you know, I always wanted to do with my wife, but she wasn't interested in at the time. And so this was just somebody to kind of, in my view, sort of like a come with sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, after, you know, a couple months of that, it turned into something else. But it was just funny that, we were talking about it, you know, several months later or whatever, a long time later. And she was referring to that as dates. And I was like, dates? I didn't know we were dating at the time. If I had any idea that she was considering it a date, like it wouldn't have started off that way at all.
Huh.
Kurt is finally healed from every mistake he made. He doesn't blame anyone for whatever hurt, and he knows he allowed them to. He's forgiven himself to some extent for all the blunders and hurt that he caused himself. But now he's just focusing on making himself more complete and, frankly, his career goals.
actually, it's funny. Earlier, just tonight, I was coming back from my ex girlfriend's place, and I was just picking up some mail. I'm kind of, you know, she wanted to chat, and so we were chatting, you know, just kind of catching up on this and that, and da 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 da. I'm looking at her and I'm like, yeah, you know, we're talking and so on. And some of that old vibe kind of came back for me. And so you start kind of considering it for a second, you know, da, 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 da. But you know, it's different in that case for me, because it didn't, I mean, we're friends now, or at least we're friendly. You know, we can talk. It's not like, you know, if we're in the same room, you know, one of us has to leave, or, you know, there's a frostiness type of thing. And I think enough time has sort of passed. But, you know, for me, you know, I might start thinking about, you know, warm thoughts, shall we say. But at some point, I also start remembering some of the unfun parts of things, the nastier parts. And that just sort of, you know, throws cold water on that whole thing. But yeah, you can kind of get, I don't want to say caught up, but you can sort of catch some of that old vibe, some of the good stuff that was happening. And, you know, I would say, you know, I mean, this is nothing earth shattering here, but that whole thing about, you know, you moved on for a reason. You should try and remember that and try and hold on to that.
Huh. Blame the warm and fuzzies, huh? When you see him or her in person, you just lose it. We've all been there. She was the emotional airbag and the one who made Kurt's unhappy life happy in the short term. And he tells us why.
Yeah, probably not. I mean, I think that's been our sort of pretext for conversation or whatever over the last while is, you know, hey, you've got some mail. And, you know, I'm not really trying to get her to forward it to my new address. I'm trying to keep things sort of separate. And, you know, I'd rather just go and pick it up when it's convenient for me type of thing. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know. I mean, now again, there may be some other thing. I mean, she's doing a little, you know, business and that kind of thing. And, you know, she can always, reach out in terms of, hey, can you give me some feedback? And I'll give her honest feedback and that kind of thing. So again, like I say, it's not like a nastiness exactly or anything, at least not at this point.
Okay.
But, you know, I'd rather just sort of keep it on a, you know, I'll see you when I see you, and we'll catch up sort of at that point type of thing.
It's equal ground for both of you to make a move. She knew exactly what she was doing. And frankly, it ramped up real quick. And Kurt claims he felt so naive. Really, Kurt?
Yeah, I mean, I like her. But yeah, there were some things that didn't go down well near the end.
Okay.
And so in fact, I'll tell you, I'm actually a little bit afraid of her. not for my life type of thing, but it's just sort of, it's better for me to kind of keep my distance type of thing.
Okay.
I don't even know if she's seeing someone right now. She may be. I don't think it's, or if she is, I don't know if it's anything serious. I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing anybody right now type of thing. So that always makes it a little bit more sort of volatile, I guess. You know, if I'm in a serious relationship with somebody, it would be, you know, no big deal. There's no, right. You're not entertaining anything even for, you know, a second really. But yeah, you know, it's trickier business when you're both single and in close contact.
It didn't start off that way. It was really supposed to be a friend's thing, according to Kurt. It was the opportunity to fill that empty void that was missing from his marriage. And frankly, that's the void that was filled in this relationship with her.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because, again, I've heard of the whole, you know, best way to get over somebody is to get under somebody and all that kind of thing or whatever. And I get that. But again, it didn't start off that way. I was not, it wasn't with any intent to sort of, you know, clear the decks and you know, yeah, you know, kind of bury any pain or anything like that. It was supposed to be just a sort of friends kind of thing. You know, again, just doing some things that, you know, I didn't really kind of get to do before. And so, yeah, you know, it became something. And at some point I consciously kind of said, hey, you know what, this is kind of crazy, but I haven't done anything kind of super crazy since I was, you know, 18. I thought, yeah, I'm overdue. I think I can take a gamble with something super crazy. So I took a gamble. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's the way that that we deal with pain, is to paper it over as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Put up some new wallpapers as fast as possible.
So Kurt realized that there were a few things that were important to him that he found in this whole rebound situation that he didn't have in his own marriage.
I can say that while I was with that, you know, in the beginning part, and I'll say this, I mean, you know, the first, you know, 8 months or so that we were together was incredible. And I wasn't really, you know, missing my ex-wife really too much or anything at that point, obviously.
So when you say incredible, was it something that you didn't have for the last 20 years that all of a sudden that you found?
Yes, that I thought I found. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wouldn't say it was like a whole truckload of stuff, but
truckload.
Just, you know, but a few things that were, you know, important to me. And, you know, I mean,
it sounds like they were, because you just used the adjective incredible. So when you said that, it was like,
yeah,
there's something magical that obviously happened for you.
Yeah. 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 It was good. It was good at first. It was eye opening and all the rest of that. So, yeah,
do you think that's part of the honeymoon phase of something new?
I've learned about that. Yes, there is definitely that. That's a real thing. That's a real thing.
Why are guys quick to move on after a relationship or marriage? Like us females, we get stuck, right? We get stuck in this rut that we can't get out of. But the quick answer is men don't like to be alone.
If it's at all related to, you know, our shopping habits, there's just a difference in kind of, you know, there's a sort of finality to things, or a kind of cut and dried, you know, 0-1 on off kind of thing to aspect, I suppose. I got what I've, you know, what I was looking for, and I'm going to go home now. Whereas, again, talking stereotypically, of course, but, you know, women are sort of more, you know, I want to consider all the options and think about things and da 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 da. So, you know, if there's any kind of relationship that way, and women are sort of thinking about, well, what if we fix this, or what if we do that, or that kind of thing, whereas a guy is sort of, you know, I'm, you know, again, I've made that switch sort of thing, then, you know, I don't know.
In addition to my own experiences, real women give mother freaking real life advice. They will express their personal bloopers when it comes to sensitive girly stuff.
It was a 20-year relationship, and now he found himself alone. Kurt found himself with no girlfriend, no wife, and alone.
I like to think my divorce was pretty good. It was mutual. Like, at least we filed it that way. And, you know, I still love this girl. I would love to be good friends with her still. You know, nobody stepping out on anybody and that kind of thing. But, It's just still sort of, it can take a while to understand who you are and who, because the thing is, you don't take a course on who's right for you, right? You know, and you can kind of get into it for the wrong reasons, and sometimes it can still work out, you know. But for me, I kind of came to a spot where I'm like, man, this girl's awesome, a nice person, great person, but she's still not the right kind of right nice person, like right kind of great person for me.
All right, so he was living on his own for the first time. That took some getting used to.
Yes. That happened to me, yeah.
Really?
But it was like, my last place, it was like, this is the first time I've had an apartment without a girlfriend or a wife.
Wow.
It was pretty wild and was weird at first. It was actually pretty strange.
Kurt explains that, you know, this whole rebound thing had a different dynamic to the backsliding with his ex-wife.
You know, sometimes I miss her. I you know, man, you know, but, you know, I'm trying to sort of stick to this weird journey I'm going through of, you know, some self-discovery and you know, I know she's made some growth and self-discovery as well. And that's great. I'm happy for her. You know, my ex-girlfriend, it's a different thing. I think that was a different dynamic altogether.
It was supposed to be a rebound and he was going through a separation, but it turned out to be more. This rebound lasted 2 years.
I foolishly went into another relationship with somebody else. And and so, you know, that went on for, I guess, close to 2 years. And so only after that broke up, and we were, you know, kind of in touch, you know, even while I was still with that other girl, every once in a blue moon, if there was some sort of family thing that came up or whatever, you know, on either side, really, then, you know, we could still talk to each other, that kind of thing. But that sort of, you know, reduced as time went on. But after I broke up with the ex, then, you know, we started kind of hanging out and, you know, it was just, hey, let's go to a comedy show, let's go to see a movie or whatever, that kind of thing. And then it became, you know, hey, you know, friends with benefits, that kind of thing. And that was a conscious thing on her part. And then it became, you know, more than that. So, and then again, so we just sort of cycled through that, you know, three times or something like that.
According to Kurt, there was no hope of a relationship type of thing with her. He enjoyed the sex and he knew it was always there. But according to Kurt, she did him wrong. And he felt like he'd be punking himself if he allowed it or continued to allow it.
I was sitting in the kitchen with this girl, you know, picking up my mail, and I'm looking at her. And yeah, she's still cute. She's still attractive. She's still funny and all these other positive qualities. But man, I got to remember why this did not work out.
So everybody has a weakness for sweetness, right? And Kurt admits he allowed it to happen. He vowed that he would never take a passive stance and allow things to happen in this shape or form ever again. But I'll let him explain the it.
Again, I just trying not to get into anything, but I fell into something and I allowed it to happen. Now I coming through that now, I'm like, I'm consciously, I am not going to allow anything to happen now. So that's the, as opposed to a more passive stance where I'm not looking for trouble, mm-hmm. but I allow stuff to happen. Mm-hmm. Now, like, I'm not even going to allow anything to happen type of thing. But anyhow, so something, I tripped into something. It was great. It was fantastic. It was X, Y, Z, and all these things. And, you know, my short list of three, I thought, and that's the other thing too, I'm learning too, is that I don't want to make too many assumptions too early about what they have and what they don't have. But,
that's why you should just ask the question.
No, it's not the type of thing that you can just sort of ask, you know, it's just something that you, need to see develop and need to, it's just something you just need to observe. And, rather than just, she did something nice, so she must be a nice person. You know, you kind of got to see it for a while. Right?
Okay.
And she's coming up here to hang out with me.
Okay.
And cool, great. I can't wait. Like, I'm just goo gaga. And I think it was, 4 days, 5 days before she was supposed to come up. Had one hell of a 2-hour argument. And it exhausted me because it was the type of thing where I know she was actually lying at some points, like just to keep, and rephrasing things in cheap ways, And I got off that phone and I was just shocked. And that was it for me.
We all want out of that stuck phase, don't we? And when I refer to stuck, I'm talking about dating after divorce. It's a reality that no one prepares you for. We already know that men don't like to be alone, especially if you're a man who finds himself alone after many, many years, right? You go from your parents' house to having a roommate in college to perhaps a few girlfriends and then a wife, and then you're back full circle. We all have dragged that giant U-Haul of baggage into new dating situations, and sometimes consciously and sometimes not. A rebound is a quick fix to getting over someone or filling a void that you have secretly longed for. We think new relationships count as places to heal from old ones, but if you are not completely over someone, then in my view, you are technically not available mentally, emotionally, and physically. And that wraps up another episode of the Keep It 100 Girls Show.
Damn!
My stories are real and true, people. More importantly, my goal is to empower everyone, to give you that dose of confidence that will help you realize your self-worth. But I like how dudes keep it 100 with me. It was authentic and genuine. No matter how painful Kurt's truth or anybody's truth is, celebrate it, people. Learn to celebrate it. Love comes to those who still hope after disappointment. So if this episode was good for you, I want you to say, oh my God, Dana, that's so me. I want you to laugh, I want you to chuckle, and tell your peeps about this relatable experience. If you want to share a lesson, drop me a line, question, or pitch your own story. Even if it's something really, really small, don't hesitate. Reply to this podcast or send me a quick email at ask@ninababel.com and tell me what your frustration or what you're struggling with right now. Episodes of the Keep It 100 Girl Show drop every Tuesday on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and iHeartRadio. You can connect with me on social. That's Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and the Keep It 100 Girl Facebook page. But I'm going to help you out. Use the handle @NinaBabel. And you spell my name like babe with an L, right? Hey, babe. And it's Nina, N-I-N-A, Nina Babel. All right, so you know how I do. I keep it 100. I keep it real. I keep it true. Until next time, smooches!